If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. An investigative look inside the hallowed halls of the Harvard Business School and what our guest calls Harvard's moral failure to live up to its own expectations. Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Doug McDonald's written two other books, which we've had him on the show for, Last Man Standing, a bio on J.P. Morgan's CEO and my classmate at Tufts, Jamie Dimon, and The Firm, the story of McKinsey and its secret influence on American business. This new one, making it seem almost a trilogy given the subject matter, The Golden Passport, Harvard Business School, The Limits of Capitalism and the Moral Failure of the MBA Elite. Welcome back. A third time's a charm, Duff.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
First off, I hope this isn't going to be an exercise in sadomasochism for me because I'm one of those MBA elite, fortunately, not at Harvard. I guess jump in. Why is Harvard Business School a moral failure?
That is one of several sort of underlying themes in the book, and the explanation for that, I think, is pretty straightforward. They, at the moment of their founding in 1908, they set a goal for themselves. It was not imposed on them from the outside. They set it for themselves, and it was to create an enlightened managerial elite that understood and remembered that it had responsibilities to society beyond the self-interest of either the people or the companies they worked for, or the organizations. And at some point over the last half century, I would argue, they totally lost sight of that goal and have instead been churning out class after class of graduates who have no perspective on their greater responsibilities and instead are in it for themselves and themselves alone.
If you look at the students as customers, do they feel the golden passport is literally true and they, for them the objectives are working?
Oh, absolutely. I have a sentence in the book somewhere that says this is not an institution with many dissatisfied customers. Mm-hmm. The graduates all have sort of hyper-catalyzed careers and earnings power. The faculty is compensated better than probably any other faculty anywhere in the world. And the companies that interact with the school in terms of case study coverage and, sponsoring symposium and efforts and stuff that is on topics that they're interested in, they all like it. The only dissatisfied customer, I would say, is society, and society, unfortunately, doesn't get much of a hearing at Harvard Business School.
Now, I believe that Jamie cooperated with you and McKinsey did to some extent. How did Harvard Business School cooperate with you in any way?
It's a good question. They cooperated none whatsoever. I was shocked. I went to the school about a month after sealing the deal to write it with HarperCollins, and What happened was it seemed they were stinging from some coverage in the New York Times, a big piece written by Jody Cantor about gender at Harvard Business School and their failure to fix problems both for female students and female faculty. And when I arrived there, the marketing chief, Brian Kenny, said, we feel she misrepresented herself and her intentions. And my immediate response to that was, what on earth does that have to do with me? And I suggested they get in touch with both Jamie Dimon and Dominic Barton, the head of McKinsey, and ask either of them whether I misrepresented my intentions in those books. I don't think they did that. They waited another month or so and then told me that the decision had been made that not a single person at the school would be made available to me from the dean on down. No access to historical records except for, requests on an a la carte basis, which would have just been painfully monotonous. And they sent me on my way.
Wow. Another, sort of fundamental dichotomy you talk about is that obviously they present themselves as an independent educational base, but you feel they've sold their soul to business by the dependency on their money, to be blunt.
Yeah, there are too many outright conflicts of interest at that place. And to be fair, it's not just HBS, it's most business schools. But the point I'm making in the book is that a lot of what happens at business schools emanates out of HBS, given its brand and its history. And, there's conflicts such as allowing professors to consult for the very companies which they are supposed to be viewing objectively and writing about objectively. So a professor will be getting a retainer from a company they're supposed to write a case study about. So let's try and think of how many ways those case studies can come out negative. Probably none. The school also solicits donations from companies just to fund its research as well. And then the school's fundraising efforts go so far as to, bring in big money. The most recent one is the dean, Nitin Noria, found himself in a bit of a pickle with the Indian company Tata Sons. The Tata Trust donated $50 million to Harvard several years ago to build a new building. And the dean is on the board of Tata Sons and was caught between the majority shareholder, Ratan Tata, and the board itself of Tata Sons and in a conflict. So they can't help but be torn both ways. The way they've set themselves up leads them to a failure to be able to be objective.
I was kind of surprised, in fact, that companies have the right of review of the cases before they're published. You're obviously not a Bernie Sanders. What do you mean by the limits of capitalism?
One of the points I try to make in the book is that I'm not anti-capitalist in any way whatsoever, but I am of the opinion, like I would expect most academics to have been, that like all human creations, it's not perfect and can always be improved. And instead of sort of standing out to the edge of capitalism and viewing it in a way that you would think academics do, say, medical researchers, they're always trying to improve medicine. The school and its faculty, yes, there are certainly instances in which they, analyze failures of the system to work well. But in a large part, they just assumed that capitalism is good. And the result is that they have failed to help, keep it up between the yellow lines. And you've got, a government and business relationship that is probably the worst in the Western world in terms of cooperation and collaboration. And things like that don't have to be. And the school could have helped prevent that from being so and has ultimately failed to do so.
Interestingly, we got a couple minutes to go. The 2008 crash, for instance, really showed that, you know, the financialization of the economy had become excessive and way too risky. Do you blame Harvard Business School, for instance, as an exemplar of that, or Wall Street, or is that one and the same?
You know, a couple of the reviews of the book have suggested that I am trying to lay all the ills of Western society on their doorstep, and that's not the case at all. In the 2008 crisis, I lean more to the latter, that was a culture of greed and a financialization of an economy that goes well beyond HBS's influence. But my point there was, at the moment of crisis, the number of HBS alums that were in jobs of key decision-making power, from the President of the United States to the Treasury Secretary to the head of the SEC to the head of a number of companies that got themselves in huge trouble, they were there. After the crisis, the dean of HBS, Jay Leonard, made a speech in which he said, We're not interested in laying blame. That's uninteresting. That's for other people to do. What we know is that we need to be at the center of figuring out how to move forward. And the point I make is, why should you be there? You were just there, and look what just happened. What on earth gives you the impression that you deserve a seat at that table?
You'll see the Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com. Find the station closest to you, listen over the internet, or access our podcasts. Next segment with Duff, maximizing shareholder value at the expense of society. Stay with us.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Call now for your free consultation. Call 800-706-6897. 800-706-6897. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752.
Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Duff McDonald. He's taking a deep dive inside Harvard Business School. Let me just finish off where we were before. Part of that financialization, I particularly think, has ended up in an way excessive short-term focus, particularly on Wall Street, where quarterly earnings, for some reason, is now everything, which, by the way, offers a great opportunity for insider trading. What do you think about the excessive short-term focus?
I think that the, you know, again, Harvard didn't necessarily take us there, but they did not help us. In particular, the hiring of Michael Jensen in the 1980s and his sort of fire-breathing theories about the nature of managerial responsibility, and essentially his conclusion that we are all wars, and that we need to be motivated with the carrot of money and stock options, and basically reduce the opinion of an entire generation of managers of themselves. It's such a tragic effect that man had.
In fact, you did a great segue. That was going to be one of the big subjects of this segment. Tell people who Michael Jensen is and exactly what his theory is.
Jensen was hired at as a visiting professor in 1984 by the dean, then John MacArthur. At the time, Wall Street was going through its the big surge. We were in the Gordon Gekko era, and Jensen was pushing an idea called agency theory, which essentially says that because the shareholders and managers won't always necessarily have their interests in alignment. They need to be forced into alignment. And using the false premise that shareholders were the rightful owners of all corporations and therefore do all profit, his theory took their interests as paramount and subordinated everybody else's. And ultimately, that led to the stock option explosion, and the LBO boom, and takeovers. And he was for a moment, he was on top of the world, and was saying stuff like, "Golden parachutes are good for shareholders. Takeovers do not squander resources," and just sort of blanket statements of absolute certainty that had zero basis in reality, but the market liked what he had to say, so they ran with it, and we became a nation with the stock price as our North Star, and I don't think we've become anything otherwise in the decades since then.
Now, Harvard perhaps is best known for the case method and for relying on it almost 100%. Where do you think it works? Where do you think it fails?
The case method's a fascinating thing. It's it is a discussion-based method of learning where the professor is more of a conductor than a traditional lecturer, and it's basically a discussion written by led by the students. It certainly has to give you greater comfort with public speaking, and with improving how articulate you can be in making your point if you're up against running the gauntlet of your own classmates. But at the same time, I think it can just result in an excessive focus on performance as opposed to substance. The other thing is that, and this is sort of a deeper criticism, the case method uses historical situations of real companies doing specific things. And, as we talked about, companies get to green light those or veto them. So you get whitewash stories of things that have happened. You get executives acting as if there was foresight where there might have just been luck. And you get a student body that is learning how to deal with problems of the future by looking at the past. And, of course, we need to learn from the past. But, the trickiest problems facing managers in any company at any time are always novel, because if we'd seen them before, and specifically, we'd know what to do. And I think it sort of, creates deep grooves in the student imagination about things that have already happened and not being, remaining open to sort of finding the problem before needing to solve it. And it just sort of ties them in a historical, a positively biased historical knot.
We've always kind of been told, what gets measured gets managed, so metrics are hugely important. And you could sort of call it a cult of measurable that's gone overboard.
Yeah, it's like if you, and part of that comes from the sort of blending of economics with business early on, where, when you've got academics like to study things and they like to do research, and it's obviously easier to measure those things which are easily measurable. I guess that's sort of a circular tautology, but like the costs are easier to measure than quality. So people measure costs and mm-hmm. say, if we're going to wring more profit out of this, the most straightforward way to do it, reduce the cost as opposed to make it better and make it worth more, or satisfaction, or notions of community. People can measure salary, headcount, cost, marketing budget, and they like to, what's happened in business schools is they have all these little levers that are measure things, and they just try to tweak them all the time to optimize performance, when human collaboration is about a lot more than everybody showing up with a spreadsheet and comparing them.
You talk about authentic leadership, which is kind of a hot culty thing, as one of the stupidest ideas ever.
Yeah, I've been waiting to hear from Bill George, the professor that's his baby at HBS. My problem with the notion of authentic leadership, particularly as taught by Harvard, is, first of all, we didn't even get leadership right? So the leadership industry is largely hucksterism as well, because yes, there are certain things you can teach about being a leader, but leadership is an emergent quality. It's not, you cannot be a leader without portfolio, just waiting for the next thing to lead. To double down on authentic leadership, my first question was, what were you teaching before if this is authentic? And also, it spends far too much time on the sort of psychic well-being of the leader themselves. Like, this is how you derive great satisfaction out of being a leader, who it seems a totally misfocused objective, right? Like, what is the point of leadership? It is for everyone to get where we need to be. We need the right people to help take us there. And authentic leadership focus on the psychic satisfaction for the leader themselves. It's absurd on its face that would be the most important part of leadership.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, WYBC Yale Radio and WGCH Greenwich. How can HBS do good next? We'll be right back.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help.
That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Duff McDonald. He's the author of The Golden Passport, Harvard Business School, The Limits of Capitalism, and The Moral Failure of the MBA Elite. Before we talk about what Harvard might be doing to add more value to society, what do you think are the good things that they do?
I'll start by answering some of the good things that they have done.
Okay.
And that is, you know, in the first part of the 20th century, you know, they helped establish the study of management, which is a crucial thing. They helped lay down some of the fundamental precepts of that and sort of helped drag it out of a completely ad hoc thing into can we study and learn from this? And that essentially is helping design systems of control. So if you have an enterprise that is larger than something that you can run out of your own home, for example, you need ways of keeping control over it. And they were crucial in that effort. They helped us win World War II. HBS was essentially converted to a military academy during World War II with a lot of statistical study of logistics and, you know, how to wind up and wind down the war machine. One of the things that was news to me when researching the book was the idea that, you know, the end of a war is just important as, say, winning the war, because when you are sort of dialing back a massive industrial effort, you run the risk of recession coming out of war, and they helped us prevent that in any meaningful way. And you know, since then, study of strategy, Michael Porter, some other stuff. So they've definitely added to the management canon in a number of ways.
They facilitate networking, obviously. They're very tight-knit. That's obviously a strength. Do you worry that, you know, interlocking directorships and, you know, being on each other's compensation committees and stuff is not necessarily a good thing?
That's a great question. There's a book that came out mid-century called The Power Elite, and it basically... It wasn't conspiracy theory. It was more of, you know, okay, we can actually, if you want to know who runs this place, meaning the country, here's your list. And it was, you know, the first of the power list. And it showed this sort of overlapping Venn diagrams of power and influence. I don't think that, and I've never been that inclined to believe in highly coordinated conspiracies like that, because it's just too complicated. You can't get everyone acting in unison. On the other hand, to your point about CEO compensation, I think yes, that is a daisy chain of favor trading that sort of has disconnected itself from the rest of us. You know, they look to themselves, they ask themselves how much they should be paid, and they form committees to justify that pay, and then they form committees to say that it's time we all need a raise, and everybody just keeps scratching everybody else's back. It's shameful. Like, the amount CEOs are paid in this country is obscene.
By the way, that I agree with. In fact, you mentioned in the book that income inequality is at a 100-year high. Is that pay gap, you know, a big part of the problem as well?
Yes. You know, we went from, you know, somewhere in mid-century, we had CEO to worker pay of 30 to 40 to 1, which even then seems a little excessive, because while, you know, if you take, say, a basketball team, there you can see how someone like Michael Jordan might deserve to be paid 20 times what a teammate makes, right? Because remove Jordan, you're a loser. Mm-hmm. Keep Jordan, you're a winner. CEOs generally can't really claim that kind of influence. They'd like to think it were so. And you can have some outliers like Steve Jobs who sort of bring a certain magic to their company. But otherwise, as a managerial task, these people can be replaced. And to be paid what now is something like 400 times the average worker is both obnoxious and also unequal. So it's definitely added to the widening gap in this country.
Okay, what are some of the good things that you think the Harvard Business School should be doing?
One thing they should do is listen to their students more. The book opens with a discussion of a recent graduate named Casey Gerald, who started an enterprise called MBAs Across America, which takes MBAs between their first and second years and puts them to work with American companies needing some help. That kind of thing is I think, more of a sideshow typically at HBS and elsewhere than it should be. It can help reduce the friction between government and business by taking a more meaningful stance on it. You know, Michael Porter, their most famous professor, puts out this competitiveness report every year and says, gives the state of the U.S. economy and says, well, the solution here is lower taxes, less regulation, and more power for business to take it away from government, which has failed us. That's not the answer. And it could also, try to, if their professors, all they want is money, they should go take jobs in industry where they can make all the money that they want. If they want to be involved in an educational effort, they should try and resist the siren song of cash a little more. Cut your consulting down. Stop relying so much on corporate donations to build new swimming pools for your executive education students. And start taking your job seriously. There was an article in The Economist this week that talked about the book, and they said, here's one option these guys could do. They should just capitalize the business school and sell it off as a business, right? Mm-hmm. If that's what they want, go for it. Call yourself a business, which is what you've been acting like, and just go ahead and do that and enjoy yourself. But if you're going to be an educational institution, try doing that for a while instead of focusing so much on how much money everyone involved in the place can make.
That reminds me, I was stunned by the amount of revenues the place generates. Was it like $1 billion or something?
I don't think it's that high. It's in the hundreds of millions. They've got a couple of legs to the stool. They have the Harvard Business School Publishing, which does the case studies and books, and Harvard Business Review. They have the MBA program, which remarkably is the least significant of its businesses. And then they have executive education, which is a money machine. Mm-hmm. Companies pay, $75,000 to send their executives there for 6 weeks. And basically in that situation, they're just selling the Harvard name to whoever's willing.
Now, obviously, you're calling for stakeholder capitalism versus this focus on pure shareholder or price of stock capitalism. Should Harvard be pushing that its folks should get out there and help focus on climate change and sustainability and other things?
Absolutely. The thing is, they're doing it. There was an article in the May, June issue of Harvard Business Review by Joseph Bauer, one of the eminence degrees of the faculty there, and it made that exact point. I think it was probably timed to coincide with the release of the book because they came out of the gate saying McDonald is focused on Jensen, we've moved on. Mm-hmm. And my response to that was, well, I focused on him when I was talking about the 1980s. And the book also moved on. But the point that I made about Jensen is you got to do a whole lot more than realize that you led us down the wrong path to help get us off of it, because we're still on it. And they need to be pounding the table a whole lot more loudly than they have been about the importance of taking into consideration things other than the desires and the needs of shareholders.
We're down to under a minute on this. Do you view this as a trilogy with the other two books? Have you gotten tougher as you've gone along? Are you holding Harvard to higher standards than McKinsey?
You know, my brother, who's an artist, told me that he couldn't. He was waiting for this one to come. I definitely got tougher, and I think it happened, during the researching of the book. When I started reading about the school disowning any responsibility for the financial crisis and claiming needing to be at the center of decision-making going forward, it was just astounding to me how easily they walk away from their failures and claim themselves as the solution to future problems.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We'll have our final national segment coming right up. We'll talk about some takeaways from Duff's journey inside HBS.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769. Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
Hey, and we're back with author Duff McDonald on the Harvard Business School. Just finishing up on the trilogy aspect, have you revised your opinion of Jamie's managerial prowess after the London whale and $21 billion of legal settlements?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that, and the answer is not entirely. Jamie has always talked about a fortress balance sheet, mm-hmm. and the London whale, my shock at the public reaction to that was that the shareholders took the brunt of that. That one didn't really affect the public, unless you want to back all the way up and say the implicit guarantee of the U.S. government is allowing this kind of mm-hmm. speculation. But, you know, for that, it's like you can't blame, as George Soros once said when he was shorting the pound, he's like, this is the system, right? You can't blame me for being better at it than you. I didn't see that as much of a black mark as others did. And the legal settlement from J.P. Morgan, a huge portion of those came out of WaMu and Bear Stearns. But yes, Wall Street itself sort of lost the compass, as it always does, in the biggest way it has in the crisis. And if you want to indict the culture of Wall Street, yes. Jamie is a manager. My opinion hasn't really changed much. You know, the board has made the right decision keeping him on this entire time.
Now, they're getting more entrepreneurial. Wall Street's getting a little tougher to make money in, and so there's a big move to Silicon Valley. Do you think that Harvard MBAs, maybe MBAs in general, too much bean counters, too much financial engineering, and they might go out and stifle some of Silicon Valley's creativity, or are they going to add managerial prowess?
You know, that's a great question. Clearly MBAs are becoming more entrepreneurial everywhere, motivated by the desire to create the new app or to get a piece of this new sort of frictionless digital economy. So I think that they're changing in the right ways in that direction. But yes, I think that the essence of MBA education at the majority of institutions in this country, if not the world these days, is overly analytical and overly focused on control systems rather than, how to innovate more effectively, how to think outside the box more effectively. Where if you look at the case method, it almost is like forcing you inside the box to start. So that is a big concern, what they do to innovation. Although I think that, you know, the the sheer force and culture of innovation in this country is enough that it can probably overwhelm any MBA influence that would be acting counter to it.
Okay, as we talk about these takeaways, you're critical of a failure to integrate ethics. Can you teach ethics? How can it get better integrated into an MBA program?
It's A, start taking it seriously enough to create faculties of substance. You know, if you look at HBS's ethics faculty over the years, they do things like say, we doubled the size of our ethics faculty this year. It's like, yeah, because you hired another one. And a huge challenge is integrating it into everyday discussion. And they talk about how difficult that is. But, okay, sure, lots of things are difficult. There's a school in San Francisco called Presidio that has sustainability as like the center of its curriculum, and sort of the study of business is built around that. And a lot of their graduates go on to become sustainability officers. So it's not impossible. Just do it. But the other, you know, yes, these are ambitious and money focused students. You're not going to change the very essence of a person's desires and goals. But all you got to do is talk to them more about other ways to think about things than, you know, constantly shoving finance courses at them and telling them that through their authentic leadership, their destiny is to rule the world. That's not ethics. That's arrogance.
Good point. Do you think basically we've been misallocating our best and brightest talent too much to business schools, and we should put more in sciences, manufacturing, other stuff, or let the markets work?
That it would be great, right? Like I went to Wharton as an undergrad, and then I got a job at Goldman Sachs in the investment banking division, and I spent 2 years there. It was I enjoyed it. Very smart people. Goldman Sachs is, you know, creme de la creme in terms of just sort of straight intellectual horsepower. But I left because I thought to myself, I like money just as much as anybody else likes money. Mm. But I can't spend my whole life with money as the center of everything. And it would be nice if more of us felt that way, so that everyone wasn't cutting corners to try and get profits at the end of the day. But God knows how we do that as a culture. You know, we just elected someone who prays at the altar of the almighty dollar himself.
You talk about the moral failure in our last few seconds of the elite MBA. Are there schools that are getting it right? Are you condemning the whole deal?
I don't condemn the whole deal. I think that, you know, Presidio is obviously one. I think that business schools have a place in our educational system. It's a complicated thing to manage an enterprise, and it's great that we are at the forefront of that globally. But we went too far. You know, the people who run the school became intoxicated with the money themselves, and it's distorted everything about the way they teach and what they teach. And it's just a shame that there aren't more people at HBS who can hold, you know, be a bulwark against the corruption of their purpose by, you know, those on the staff and faculty who are more focused on maximizing their own earnings power than on maximizing the positive effect of the school on society.
Well, it's been a fast hour, and it is a powerful document and a lot of history in there as well. Thanks to Duff McDonald, his book, The Golden Passport, Harvard Business School, The Limits of Capitalism and the Moral Failure of the MBA Elite. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Next week, we're going to have Larry Tye on his new bio on Bobby Kennedy. Thanks to Duff. Thanks to our national audience for listening. See everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.